This is Victory House.
This evening, there is something that I want to. I've been battling with the title. Okay, battling with titles. What should I call it? And mostly, I'm usually inclined to call things relationship, marriage, and things like that. So I've been trying to stay away from it, but God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us say a quick word of prayer before I go into the word. Our Father and our God, we thank you for another opportunity to fellowship in your presence. Oh Lord God, we ask that your spirit moves freely in today's teaching. We ask that you open up our eyes to see and our hearts to receive, that we may learn and grow in you in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So, like I was saying earlier, I've been battling with what to call the title, but I eventually ended up with Knowing God. So the title of my message is Knowing God. We're going to read quite a few scriptures this evening. The first scripture that I want us to read is 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. The Bible says from verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. Things that we have seen, things that we have heard, things that we have handled, we have looked upon, then things that we have handled with our own hands, concerning the word of life. Verse 2 says, the life was manifested, and we have seen, and bearing witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Essentially, saying the things that we have heard, right? Things that we have heard, things that we have seen with our eyes, things that we have looked upon, and it says things that we have handled with our hands. The second verse, the second scripture that I want us to read is taken from Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. It says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, and such that do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people that know their God, not the people that know of, not the people that have heard about, or the people that have an idea, the people that know their God. There's something about knowing God. This evening, so what does it mean to know? I looked up the dictionary meaning, and there are a few things that jumped to my mind. Knowing suggests that one has knowledge or awareness. You have knowledge or awareness that is sacred or known to only a few people. If I was to ask you right now, do you know President Barack Obama? Everybody say yes. But the way you and I know President Barack Obama is different from the way his staff know him, which is also different from the way his siblings know him, and ultimately is different from the way Michelle knows him, right? His wife. So in that instance, you can see a different level of connection, a deeper. We know him as the president. Other people just have a working relationship with him. Then there's the sibling relationship, then there's the wife relationship, or marriage, if you will. Then knowing also reflects knowledge or information about a certain thing. So for example, I know how to drive. So I have an idea of what it means to drive, what it requires to drive, and the responsibility that comes with driving. It also says possession of exclusive inside knowledge or information. So all this goes back to those that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do what? Exploits. My question or my challenge for us today is, what's our level of knowledge of God? I mean, you don't have to answer it, and I'm hoping that it will just continue to ring and echo in your spirit throughout this week, month, year, or what have you. In my little walk as a Christian, I have seen a lot of Christians relate with God on transactional basis. I need a car. God bless me with a car. It's my year of victory. My mind is just focusing on what I need. Right? So if nothing extraordinary in that sense, like nothing spectacular happens, and I tell you, how has your year been? If you cannot articulate it to maybe you bought a house, you got a new job, something that you can translate, or God healed you, then it supposedly seems like, oh, it was just okay. Right? Right? So what we see in our days a lot of time now is what? A transactional type of Christianity, whereby the reason why I come to church is because I need something from God, or the reason why I pray is because I need something from God. How many of you know that if you have that one friend and all they do is ask, you put them at a certain level, you can't confide in them because you already boxed them. Okay, this is James. Every time James calls me, is either he wants me to do something for him or he's asking me about somebody that he wants to do something for. So I put James in a different arm's length. But if it's John just says, Pastor, I just wanted to say hello. How are you doing? Chances are the relationship between James and the pastor would be stronger than the relationship between the pastor and John. That's how we relate with God. It's, God, I need. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we should not talk about our needs, and I'll get there. But he knows we need these things even before we ask him. And this message has been ringing in my mind for weeks, and I was like, okay, just developing it or whatnot and just asking God different things. Let's look at Abraham, father of faith. Abraham started out Genesis chapter 12. God tells Abraham, I will do this. Go into this, leave your household, leave your parents' house essentially, and go into a land that I will show you, right? Abraham gets up. That's from chapter 12. Abraham gets up and he departed. Abraham was 75 years old. Now let's put things in context. Abraham was not born into a religious family. It's not like they were Christians. They had their own gods that they were worshiping. So God was calling him out of that and saying, go into this land. Initially, God called Abraham's father, but that's a different conversation. But Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. And then he starts going. Fast forward to still in chapter 12, he gets to a land, and then Abraham says, look, Sarah, yeah, you're a pretty lady. If I say that you're my wife, they're going to kill me. This is Abraham. And then he devises his scheme. He lies. He says, just tell them that you're my sister. And then everything will work out, right? So they'll not kill me, so we can just blend in. At this point, he's trying to develop a relationship with God because he lied. And you will see as you read Genesis, starting from 12, something happened to Abraham. His confidence in God, not focusing on his situation, started to build. What do I mean by that? When God called Abraham, he didn't have any child. He said, I'll bless you. I'll make you a father of nations. The first thing Abraham said, well, Abraham did not say, God, I need a child. God called him in Genesis 12. Abraham did not ask for a child in Genesis 12. He was still trying to learn, okay, God, he's trying to build that relationship, right? Fast forward to verse chapter 14. What happens? You see Abraham, Lot, they had their issues. A few nations came. They took his cousin, Lot, and his nephew. They took his nephew. And what happened? Abraham said something. He raised his own men in the house, 300 men, and then he chased them. What happened between the Abraham that was lying and the Abraham that says, I have 300 men, I'm going to go and get my nephew back? What happened? Confidence in God. Because nothing essentially happened. Yeah, you can say he has a little bit more money because the Bible now says, okay, he was rich in, I think it was verse, chapter 13. But that confidence started growing. Fast forward to chapter 15. God said to Abraham that he would have, Fast forward to chapter 15, still in Genesis, and right. Okay, fast forward to chapter 15, and God now tells him that he would have his own child. And then Abraham says, I believe, and he was credited to him as righteousness. God tells him in chapter 15, verse 7, he says it was credited to him as righteousness because Abraham believed God. Genesis 16, Abraham listened to his wife. Now, this is when God is saying that you have a child, but in 16, Abraham listens to Sarah. Okay, I would sleep with your servants. They had Ishmael from that experience. I want you to follow me here because God called him in chapter 12. He was 75. He had Ishmael at 86, right? He had Ishmael at 86. He had Isaac when he was 100. Right? So for 11 years, Abraham was still trying from 75 to 86. He was still staggering. Okay, I know God has said it, but if you believe 100%, rationally, you would not listen to your wife in that instance. He's still struggling with that relationship. Okay, I know God has said it. How does things happen? But there's something that not happened. In verse 17, Abraham was 99, and then God told him to go and circumcise everybody in his house, right? Including himself. The Bible says that day. Now, circumcision is painful for a 99-year-old man. We're not talking about 2018 with technology. We're talking about back then. He didn't say he would fast and believe, and okay, maybe God will do it next year. He says that day, something was brewing. That relationship was brewing. I am of the opinion that if you are growing in faith, we will see it in your relationship with God. Faith is not just about, I need a faith for a car. I need faith for a house. As I'm growing in faith, it should translate in my relationship with God. Amen? So it's not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the devils will not die. Your enemies will die. Yes, I get that. You'll be healed. I get that. But let's just for 1 second focus on how do I grow in my relationship with God. Abraham, through this ordeal, became the father of nations. Through this whole ordeal, right? The issue is not the situation. It's I need to use that situation to get closer to God. Oh, so this is how God works when I'm at this level. Not remaining in that level of just give me, give me, give me, God, give me, give me. God will help us in Jesus' name. Fast forward, Abraham has Isaac, and then God says, go and sacrifice your son, your only son that you love. And I like that phrase because you can be clever. Okay, yeah, where is Ishmael? Where is Ishmael? God sent for Ishmael. Right? He said the one that you love, your only, that one that you love. And the Bible says the next day. What happened to the same Abraham that didn't want to die? He didn't want them to kill him, so he decided to lie. It's the same one that is saying he will kill his son for God. What changed? His relationship grew with God. He developed that relationship with God. The Bible says that something. The Bible says, in Genesis 18, this is God just saying, shall I hide from what I'm about to do? What I want to go and do, shall I hide it from Abraham? You can't tell that to somebody that is just asking, give me God, I want a car. No. Shall I hide what I want to do in Chicago from Toyosi? Shall I hide what I want to do in the U.S. from such and such? That relationship is not transactional. That is friendship. That is intimacy. This is my body. This is my friend. Amen? And Abraham grew in his relationship with God. And then the Bible says, Genesis 18 from verse 17, it says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since he shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. If you look at that phrase or look at that statement, all the nations, God is still concerned about his nations. It's not about your car and your house. Because in the grand scheme of things, it is not about you. The sooner you get that, the better it is for everybody. It's not about you. Every single thing points to the fact that everything is not about you. Right? Verse 19 says, For I have known him in order that he may command his children. He may command his children and his household after him, that they will keep the way of the Lord. He will command it. He will demand it. This was before he had Isaac. Amen? So we see a few things from this relationship, from God and Abraham. The first thing that we see there is the relationship was developed over time. It was developed over time. God called Abraham when he was 75. Isaac showed up at 100, 25 years, right? My point to you is things don't happen over time. It's not night and day. God is not going to reveal everything to you the first day. But what he wants is a heart that, look, are you really focused on the car or the house or the material things? Or are you focused on me? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It's the purity of your heart. And sometimes you don't need any dramatic thing to happen to you. It could just be, I'm just fellowshipping with God. That's all. Amen? I think it was last week that Pastor Andrew was talking about waiting. Like, I'm just here just waiting on God. Just waiting. I'm just hanging out with God. For some people, sometimes we think it's, I prayed on Monday and I got answered on Tuesday. Really? Now, some people, one of the Bible characters that I like is Isaac. Isaac got married at 40. He gave birth at 60. 20 years. The Bible says every morning he will pray for his wife for 20 years. What is it that you're trusting God for? And you've prayed 3 weeks, 2 days, and I think, okay, God, you didn't get me a car, I'm angry. Or God didn't do this. Get what I'm saying? Some things don't come overnight. Another thing that we see from the story of Abraham and God, or in Genesis, is, I think I talked about this, there's that bond, there's that fellowship, there's that relationship, and it developed over time. Then we see trust. God, this is God saying that Abraham has the capacity to be a distribution center. I know that he will bless, he will command his children after him. Right? That's what scripture says. It says that, for I know him in order that he may command his children and his household after him that they may keep the way of the Lord. And then in verse 18, he says, since Abraham shall surely become a great nation, a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed towards him. That means he's a distribution center. God is not saying, looking at, okay, if I bless Abraham, that's the end. He's just going to hoard it. He can't see beyond his own needs. And it's very easy for somebody to say, God, when I get 5 million, I will give that person 100,000. It's a lie. It's a lie. And here's why. I've been in finance for a while. I've been in church finance. I study people. If you can't part way with $10, do you know what it is to write a $100,000 check? And I'm just being serious. Now, do you know what it is to write a $1 million check? I am not saying, God, if I have 100 million, I'll write you 10 million, 1 million. God is not man that you deceive him now. If you can't give me if you can't give me $5 now, it's hard for me to trust that you give me $100. God is making this statement before Abraham became mighty. Before he said, I know him. This is God. So there's that trust. Abraham was able to demonstrate trust with God even when he was believing God for Isaac. You get what I'm saying? So there's a part of you, your actions matter when you're believing for something. It's not about me all the time. Forget about your need. And then the other thing we see that is kingdom focused. It's all about God. God is more particular about his will being done on earth than your little problems. That's the reality. And here's why. Regardless of how long you live, well, maybe some of you might be believing God to live up to 300 years old. I don't know. Or 200. I don't know. But the Bible says that we are like what? Just, that's it. Right? That's what we are. So in the grand scheme of things, it's just, that's our life. Just, so it's not about us, right? And the moment we can take our focus, because I see a lot of, I need this, I need this, I need, I get that. But don't remain in that I need. Try to develop yourself and build that capacity to understand God and relate with God. God, what are you trying to teach me in this situation? What have you said in your word in this situation? Okay, now I am focusing on your word with the expectation that the more of your word I have in me, the more I know you and I can grow out of a situation. God expects us to grow out of whatever situation it is. One thing scripture says in the book of James, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You double-minded. Right? There's something about the purity of your heart that is hard. You can't deceive God. He knows you have a need. Before you ask him, he knows you have that need. Now, is it easy? No, but you can develop yourself. Because Abraham did it, Moses did it, Paul did it. Look at scripture. Most people that did things for God were people that had issues, but they didn't focus on their issues. A lot of times we talk about with the woman with the issue of blood. I get that. Whereby, look, if you can touch the hem of his garment and you'll be made whole. There's a symbolism there. That relationship with God. Your focus is shifting from myself because rather than me focusing on treating myself or I've gone to meet doctors, I know that if Jesus steps into this situation, I will be made whole. Right? So it's not just about my needs. I think it was Pastor Andrew I heard this from, and I don't know if he's the originator, but I trust he's a man of wisdom. But God is not going to be more powerful tomorrow than he was last week. Right? So I don't care what your needs are. The Bible says that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every single knee must bow. Your needs have to bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. But the focus should be on Jesus, not on him just meeting your needs. Right? Another character that I want us to just talk about real quick is Moses. You look at the story of Moses, we all know it. Exactly. We all know it. Psalm 103 says something. It says, Psalm 103 verse 7. It says, he made known his ways. This is the Amplified. He made known his ways of righteousness and justice to Moses, and then his acts to the children of Israel. Sometimes it's like we just like God to just perform miracles. Wow, God just did that. Wow. And we are wowed by that miracle that he did, rather than focusing on him as an individual, focusing on God. Focus on God. So this is Moses developing a relationship with God. And the children of Israel, they are just, God, when are you going to part the Red Sea again? God, back in Egypt. Can you imagine? They were going through the wilderness. They now start remembering cucumbers. They want to, they just so needy people. But they had the cucumbers when they were complaining, God, get me out of here. Now God is taking them out. I say, no, God, let, sometimes I feel like that, because when it's cold in Chicago, I say, God, it's too cold. I want it to be warm. When it's warm, I say, God, it's too hot. Make up your mind. But the focus is this. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, everything is to bring you back to him. That's what redemption is really all about. Is to redeem, buy back, bring man back. I want that fellowship. I want that relationship with man. That's it. At the end of the day, it's that relationship. Now, the moment you lose that relationship or you lose focus, then you start to wonder to God, I need this. Then it's like, okay, God, I've not read my Bible for 3 days. Maybe that's why I had a flat tire. Or I didn't pray or I didn't fast that week. Pastor said we should fast for 3 days. I only fasted for 1 day. Maybe that's why I had that accident. Then your mind starts playing games with you because it's transactional. It's transactional, right? It's a transactional relationship, which is not the case. God desires a relationship with man. I want to have a relationship with you. That's what he desires. In Exodus chapter 33, still on the story of God and Moses, Exodus chapter 33, the Bible says, the Lord spoke face to face with Moses like a man speaks to his friend. Again, relationship. Like a man what speaks to his friend. Relationship. Right? At the end of the day, it's what is my relationship with God? See, I am of the opinion, you can come to church every Sunday, that's okay. But if you have a relationship with church, nobody will force you to come to church. Nobody will call you to come to church. You can be coming to church every Sunday and not have a relationship with God. But if you have a relationship with God, it's easier for you to come to church on Sunday. You will want to come to church on Sunday. And if you by any chance miss church on Sunday, then you know that you are confident that it's not because I did everything within my power to attend service, but I just couldn't make service. Not now. What would pastor say? Okay, if I don't go, what would pastor say? See, when we get to heaven, nobody's going to mark register. You went to church 100 days, good. No. It's those things help. I'm not saying don't come to church. But at the end of the day, Church is for a few hours. What do you do outside of church? What do you do outside of church? What do you do outside of church? And that's why, for me, I try not to focus on the transactional, mundane things with people. It's if somebody tells me, oh, look, this is what I'm going through, my mindset is, God, just help this person understand whatever it is they are going through. Because sometimes it may be our own decisions that we made because we didn't know better. We didn't take time to read the word of God, right? And sometimes we've done everything. We are growing through it. There are some things you will grow through. That's how it works. I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care how... If you look at scripture, there is nobody in scripture that didn't have to use faith to conquer mountains. That's stepping out. That's then if you're going to use faith, then there must be something greater that you're believing God for. Material things is a byproduct of working, of doing things for God. So how do I develop my relationship with God as I close? The first is salvation. You have to be born again. You have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Sometimes some people have accepted him as Lord. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. What about Savior? I know that I need this relationship. You are my Savior. You saved me. And as a result of that, this life that I live is not my life. Romans 10 tells us that. 10:10, right? So the first thing is you want that salvation. Now, you have crossed that hurdle. I'm born again. I speak in tongues. I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What's the next thing? The next thing is then you fellowship with God. If you do this consistently, it will lead to intimacy. And then when you're intimate with God, you start to give birth. That's the reality. Sometimes we are not consistent in our relationship or our fellowship with God. Yes, we are Christians, but the consistency is not there because we are busy. I get that. We're busy with life. We're busy with family. We're busy with work. We're busy with other things. But at the end of the day, all the excuses you and I have today, it's not going to hold water when we get to God, when we get to heaven. That's the reality. I don't care what excuse you have. It's not going to hold water. God, you know I had to get up at 5 a.m. and I had to go and do all this. There was no time. And I had to, in fact, I was working 12-hour shifts. I am not here to figure your life out for you. God is there to figure your life out for you. That's why you need a relationship with him. Your best advisor, counselor, help is the Holy Spirit. God has given you that guide. He knows that. Otherwise, you'll have said, okay, go and talk to this pastor. I'm not saying don't talk to pastor. I'm not saying don't talk to men of God. But in the grand scheme of things, because sometimes you yourself, you don't understand. If you were to come to meet me and you tell me this is what's going on, if you give me a perfect picture, perfect understanding, or if you paint a perfect picture of what you are going through, I might be able to help you. But the fact is this, you're not going to paint a perfect picture because you don't know sometimes. You're growing through situations, but you don't know, you don't have the full story. Why don't you ask God? Why don't you develop that relationship with him and then you can walk through it out? And how do you build relationship, fellowship with God? Spending time reading his word. Spending time meditating on his word. Spending time praying. And then when you pray, it's not just you pray to God and then you leave. I am a believer that, I have a conviction that when you pray, God will give you instructions. Because now, except you're interceding for people, the essence of praying is downloading. I'm going to pray, talk to God, he gives me an instruction, then I go and carry out that instruction. That model, Habakkuk, right? He says, I'll stand and watch. I will watch what he will say to me. When he says it, then I'll write the vision plan, and then I can run with it. Did you take the visions class? Yeah, we talked about vision a few weeks ago. Exactly, right? So that's the model. So there's no point just praying. Pray, and then that's it. God is saying, wait, don't go out today. You have gone. And you say you had a flat tire. or you say something happened. And then you're like, but God, I prayed. 3 hours, I just prayed. I'll give you a story. And this might be weird. There was one time I was fasting, and the reason why I was fasting was I wanted God to hug me. My wife was just laughing, like, what's and I say that because there are some things that you just do just out of sheer zeal and just go and settle your emotional imbalances. Right? But my point is this, when I think about that story, I was at a place whereby I needed just a touch from God. I just needed that, God, there's no way I can figure this life by myself. I just need to quiet myself, and if it's a hug that would signify that, look, it's okay, son, I'm with you. I just needed something. I needed some type of confirmation, and for me, I rationalized it, I just needed a hug, right? But what am I trying to say? At the end of the day, you need to build a relationship with God. Your ability to walk with God guarantees success here on earth. That's it. Bible says, and Enoch walked with the Lord. David, after he had served his generation, how did he serve his generation? This is somebody that God said is a man after my own heart. Because he had a heart up for God, he was able to serve his generation. Right? Because if you are serving, you can get busy when you are doing things in the flesh. That's when you now say, well, I got there at 8 o'clock. I was the best person to get there. And I left after, and pastor didn't even call me. Pastor is human too. He forgot. Simple. Oh, I did this. Then your focus shifts from I'm expecting man to pay me, or I'm doing this so that they can see me, or I'm doing that so that I can get. No. David, after he had served his generation, he served his generation, right? And then another thing is you need to stifle your flesh. This is the one that a lot of times Christians struggle with. Not saying all those other things we don't struggle with it, but this one is more evident when you're not doing it. So if you're not reading your word, if you're not praying, if you're not meditating, it might not be evident on the outside, but you know that you're living on the inside empty. You know that there's that confidence in God is not in there. But if you cannot subdue your flesh, it will be made manifest outside. That's when you start getting angry. People can see that. You keep malice. People can see that. There's moral failure. People can see that. Your flesh pushes you to do things that is open to the public. And how do you do that? The Bible says that he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, right? But if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption, right? Galatians chapter 6, I think verse 7 and 8. So the point is this, you have to sow to your spirit man. A lot of times you can do praying, fasting. Those are ways to develop your core. The Bible says there's a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. So as you are praying and fasting, you are developing your core. You are developing your spirit man. But you are separating your spirit man to feed on the word of God. Amen? And then also, the Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain his bodily infirmities. Sometimes you are going through situations because your spirit man is weak, or your flesh is too loud. It's as simple as don't pick up that call. It's as simple as don't go out. Right? It's as simple as do this, do that, because you are training your inner here. At the end of the day, your ability, like I said, your ability to walk with God guarantees your effectiveness as a Christian. Guarantees your effectiveness as a Christian. So if there's anything that I'll just ask as I close, I will ask that you know where you are in God. And we are all growing. I don't want you to think that, okay, there's a place whereby I've grown. I think we're all here when Reverend George said that he has read the Bible 320 times. That means on the average, he has to be reading the Bible 10 times a year. For you to have read it 320 times. Except you want to read the Bible every day, 320. I don't know. But if you break it down with his schedule, he's reading the Bible cover to cover at least 10 times a year. And if he does that, it will take him 30 years. 30 plus years to do that. So what's our excuse? I'm challenging myself as well. At the end of the day, it's not about the material things. Those things would come. It's not about the comforts. Those things would come. But you have to know what your priority is. My priority is not to be comfortable. My priority is not to have a big house. My priority is not to just have a comfortable life. My priority is to build a relationship with God. And whatever he tells me to do, I will do it. That's it. Go, come, stay. Do this, do that. Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, when I leave this earth, if Jesus tarries, I would meet him face to face. And then, what would my excuse be? God, I had to work and I had this difficult boss. And really, I always think about that. And that's one of my concerns. But like, what would my excuse be? So I'll close with prayer. We could just rise up to our feet. And that's why I was happy when we sang this song, I need more of you. I need more of you in my life. I need more of you in my home. I need more of you, God. Ask God. You know where you are. If for some of us, it's just saying, okay, God, I'm going to start taking 15 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day, you can start there. 5 minutes a day, it's not a religious thing. I'm not just going to wake up, read my Bible. They said we should read our Bible, and then I'm going to go. No. God, show me what area of my life that is distracting me from growing in you. We can all grow in God. We can all get closer to him. Help me draw closer to you, Lord. I don't want to just be a transactional Christian. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. Yes, he will do it. But there is more to that. Transactional Christians, that's a side of God. I want their depths to God. Their depths to God. And only true intimacy will pull us to those realms. Only true intimacy with God. Regardless of what it is, before you get a woman pregnant, your wife pregnant, you have to get close to her. No matter how much talking you talk over the phone, well, technology has not created something yet. But no matter how much you talk over the phone, there's no intimacy. And the byproduct of intimacy is fruitfulness. Father, as a church, as individuals, as a family, we are asking, Lord, help us in this season. Help us draw closer to you. Open up our eyes to see areas whereby we are struggling. Whatever veil, whatever the devil is using to cover our eyes, whatever it is that is distracting us from building and focusing that true intimacy or building that relationship with you, help us nullify those things in our lives.